I'm glad he'll keep us safe. Amen. Amen. But it's good to be here this morning. You just pray the Lord has his way and does what he wants to around here. And pray for, mention this real quick, pray for Rose Emma and Carolyn. They're gone to Carolina for a few days. And then I just heard from Zach a little while ago, and he said Ben was real tired. And but anyway, asked us to pray for them, said that that several of them had a touch of the flu. And so if you would pray for all of them over there and as they're trying to get this flaring oil give out in Bulgaria and headed out to meetings and everything else. And I hope it's just a touch of the flu. That's what I was thinking. But anyway, Lord, I'll hush up right there, read the prayer list to you. If you would pray for Brenda Stanley, Norma Blevins, Danny Minton and Danny Tester, Robin Bordwine, Bobby and Jean and Charlotte. Pray for Robert Schrader and Bill Donahue and Billy Craddock, Matthew Cannon, Tony Rich, Wayne and Renee Mullins, Johnny and Pat Burton, James Cable, Robbie and Carrie Gabbard, David Gabbard, Cliff Ramey, and then Howard, Rosemma and Carolyn's brother. I think he's having a few problems. Then if you would continue to pray for Mr. Green and all the family, and then also remember them, Janet, they buried her mother on Friday, and then her brother just about a month ago, and so been a hard time. But then if you would pray for Lynn and Tim Boland, Phyllis Carver and Olima Rice, Ruth Thornburg, Gail Riplinger, Jane and Debbie Parker, Hattie Crane, Judy Campbell, Linda Berry, Karen Pageant, Barbie McMurray, Becky Garrison, Rita Smith, and then pray for Ben and all the missionaries. I did speak to Susan and Siraj a little bit yesterday, and or actually got an email and things from them, and they're doing well, and said the Lord really blessed their trip to India, and I appreciate that. Amen. Got back safely and said everything that they had on their heart to do, they was able to do that and communicate with a lot of the folks, and so I'm thankful the Lord took care of them. And if you would, pray for the lost, and God just touches them to deal with them. We'll get the ushers to come this morning, take up the offering real quickly, and you give the Lord, he blessed you. And as I said, it's good to be in God's house this morning, and looking forward to what he's got for us. Anyway, amen. All right, Brett, you pray for us if you would.
Thank you, God, for another opportunity to be in your house. Pray you blessing this service, Lord. Bless us, this, Lord, the people's, Lord, been requested prayer for. Pray, God, you'd help them, God. Each one, you know the needs of each heart, each life, God, today. We ask you, God, just to consider those, God, and we'll thank you for all of your blessings and benefits, God, Lord, to us today. Thank you for so great a salvation, Lord, and ever great benefit that you've given us. And Father, we'll pray that you just continue to help us, Lord. We don't know how long we'll be here in this place, God, in this world, but God, give us grace to get to just live day by day, hour by hour, Lord, and pray, God, that you just help us and, Lord, love one another, pray one for another, Lord, and to, Lord God, to care about the lost, Lord, and minister, God, as best we can, God, and we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
You're not, but it helps me. Thank God. I'm glad to see some light in this dark day we're living in. Hallelujah. Now, I would this morning that you'd pray for me. I'm not exactly sure what to do, to be honest. I've got two crowds on my heart, and when I say two crowds, what I'm saying is I've had these verses on my mind. I'm going to read these. It's probably where I'm going to preach from, but I want to read them to you for a few minutes, and then I'm going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, actually, I guess. And but the first crowd I've had on my heart was, and I guess this is the verse that just kind of kept coming to me. It said in Daniel chapter 7, and verse 25, and I'll just read just a couple verses here, and it said, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." And that's been bothering me right there, because I think I feel like I understand a little bit of this. I think most of this that's taking place here is a Jewish thing. I think it's a lot of that, but I thought about what Satan wanted to do is wear out the saints of the Most High.
Yes, sir.
And I look around and I see the church and I see God's people going through things, and it breaks my heart, and I wish I knew how to help you. And so I don't know. If that's the crowd I need to preach to, or the other one this morning. But I want to give you just a little bit right here as I read this. Had this on my mind. It said that you wear out the saints of the Most High to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. But now listen right here. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, I wish that I could stand up here this morning and tell you it'd get better. But that ain't the case.
Amen.
Not while you're here. Bible said it's going to wax worse and worse.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's just... But now listen to verse 26. There is some hope in this. But the judgment shall see it. Ain't that good? God said, I done fixed this thing. I've done declared judgment on it. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it in the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. He said, I've done judged this. They're wearing you out, but that's all right. I'm going to take it away from him, and I'm going to give it to you. Now, as I said, this is a Jewish thing here, but anyway, thank God. Whose kingdom, listen, is an everlasting kingdom. Amen. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. There's one day, thank God, coming. Maybe not too far down the road. Help is on the way, thank God. Hallelujah. I know that I talked to folks this morning hurting on the phone and different things, and I don't exactly have words to help that'll cure your heartaches and the things you're going through to get you over them quickly and now. But thank God the Bible said judgment shall see it. He'll take care of it. Amen. I'm glad one day there is a great reunion day. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I see people in physical pain and all of that, and that probably ain't going to end. You're going through things, and you'll probably have to die with them. But that's all right. Judgment shall see it. Things that you'll probably never get over down here, but that's all right. Judgment shall see it. God got it. He'll help you. Amen. Lord, I don't know what to do. I want to go over here and I want to preach a few minutes. I wanted to say those things. I'd like to help the church. God help, I'd like to exhort the church and edify the body and tell you it's all right. It is all right.
Yeah.
It is all right, thank God. You're going through things in this old flesh. That's all right. I read where though this outward tabernacle perish, though it be dissolved, we have a building. I mean, ain't that good? Thank God you've got some promises. One day you'll move out of this shed and move into your mansion. Amen. And that's giving it a compliment, calling it a shed. Because it ain't nothing but a dirt pile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God. Going through heartaches and sufferings. And I would that I could make it all go away, but I can't, but he can.
Amen.
But until all of that takes place, there's one that's wearing out the saints. I'm not here to glorify him. I'm here to say his days are numbered. Thank God. But that ain't really who I want to help you. But I need to go over here. If you'll pray for me just for a few minutes. In 2 Peter chapter 3. I was sitting back there reading this the other day and talking to William a little bit. I told him, I said, I've got these two verses on my heart. And it's scary. Bible said, verse 17, ye therefore beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. I want to talk to you about that a little bit. And Peter, he also is an apostle to the Jews. He's talking to them, I believe. But I'd like to glean a few things out of it this morning for the Gentiles. Looking at some things, and I see just a couple little things in this. As far as I can tell, there's two options in these verses here. There's either being led away or growing in grace. And I want to say this about the two options. That's pretty much scriptural. Thought about it. The scriptures teaches us that there's light and darkness. There's good and evil. There's holy and unholy. There's righteous and unrighteous. There is no riding the fence. There is no such thing as that. You're either led away or you're growing in grace. That's about the way that it is. And, you know, the hardest thing for a pastor, I thought about this, and truly if we are living in the days of Noah, the hardest days is not seeing the ark being built. The hardest days is not the storm to come. The hardest days is the spirit not striving. Storm's coming. The floods are coming. The fire is going to fall. We can read this over here just a little bit earlier in this very chapter. The fire is going to fall. And there's going to be a crowd that's saying, where is this coming? Things remain as they were from the beginning of time. There'll be mockers and scoffers and all of these things. You go over to chapter 2, you'll find out what he's talking about, being led away. There's a crowd over there that wants to lead you away this morning. There's a crowd over here in verse 2, chapter 1. But there were. Let me back up. It said in verse 21 of chapter 1, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You don't see that much no more. My heart's broke sitting here watching people being led away. Not just out of the churches, just being led away. Watch the news, you'll watch them be led away. Go to the college campuses, you're watching them be led away. Most college campuses started out as, colleges here in America started as a place to go learn about God. How they started. Now they're gone. Now I'm not here to preach on all that. I'm just saying they're gone. I'm saying back in the day, holy men of old spake. They were moved. But then you don't have to go far. Just one verse, you'll find out. But there were false prophets also among the people. It ain't long until you get down through there and he's talking about, as soon as the false prophets and all that, then you start finding out about their pernicious ways. And see, there's another way other than growing in the grace of God. There's other ways. You'll find out that he starts talking about the days of Noah. That's what follows the false prophets, the days of Noah. The days of Lot, you'll find out that you'll come over here, there's natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. You'll find, my God, listen to me. Lord, have mercy. Cursed children. I'm scared to death. I really am. I'm scared to death. I read this, and he said, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware. You've heard what's coming. They're trying to save the world. This world is not going to be saved. It's the soul is the only thing that can be saved. Yeah, listen. God help. But I've been thinking about these things. See, the Bible's laid out where it's laid out in such a way that the Bible said this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There's... there's no in between. But what I'm trying to say is, there's one that's trying to lead you away from God, or you can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he even put it this way. He said in Matthew 7, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's only two gates. Amen. You're on one road or the other.
Yeah.
The devil's trying to drag everybody he can through that broad gate, through that broad way.
Yeah.
Take everybody down that he can.
Yes, sir.
He'd destroy you in a second if he could. But since he don't have power to do that just yet, instead of destroying you, he'll deceive you.
Yeah.
He'll deceive you. Amen. Knowing the outcome down the road. Lord God. He gives us, in the same chapter, he gives us another parable, you might say. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I mean, this is what he's saying. There's two places to build. I mean, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say. It's one way or the other. It's one way or the other. You'll either build on the rock or you'll build on the sand. You're not riding the fence. And I'm not preaching a bunch of legal stuff this morning. My God, I'm trying to, I mean, I'd like to exhort, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is only one safe avenue to take. There is only one to run to. And we're far from all that. I'm talking about as a whole, as a country, as a world, we're so far from that. Some of you can't see it because you've never known nothing but what you've seen in your little short life. But if you'd go back in history, let's just look at America just for a minute. And I'll go on here real quickly. I mean, my heart's about to bust out. In 1900, per capita, so we'll keep it, there was 1.2 out of 100,000 murders. Now of 100,000, there's 11 out of every 100,000 people. I mean, we've come a long way. Back in 1900, the divorce rate was 4% out of that same. Now it's 50%. And out of second marriages, it's 65%. Now I know I'm meddling a little bit here, but I'm just talking to you. We're a long way from where we used to be. Long way. Let me tell you about all these laws that they're passing right now. You know when murder shot up? in the early 1900s when the Prohibition took place. That's when the murder shot up. When they started making laws. See, you say, that don't make sense. It does make sense. At one point, it was illegal. They made it legal so they could get the tax money off of it. It tore the families apart.
Yeah.
And people started killing one, got drunk and killed one another.
Man.
That's what happened. You know, we had a little spell there where it kind of plateaued. But now, since the late 1900s, or the 1990s, everything has shot more murders and stuff. You know what they done again? They started passing drug laws. They started making illegal drugs legal so they can get the money off of them. And murder and everything went on up again. They made the things that was illegal. You know why they're bringing all this stuff across our borders? You know why they want to pass laws and tax them now? They've sold us out. I'm going to talk to you about the grace of God. You've only got one safe place to get, and that's in Jesus.
Amen.
There's only one. The government ain't going to take care of you.
No, sir.
They don't care nothing for you. Neither side.
Amen.
It's just the Lord and the Lord alone. It's Him. Quit glorifying the right or the left. I mean, it's all Jesus. He's the only one who can help the church. He's the only one who can help you, the individual. He's the only one that sets the captive free. You'll never be free under the government. You'll only be under their bondage. But the Lord will set you free, thank God.
Amen.
I mean, so many things I'd like to say. I want to read a few more scripture here in a minute. But while I'm on that, talking about wars and rumors of wars and all the things that take place, we're in the biggest war we've ever been in. And there's not a bomb being shot. I said, I want to be careful. Do you realize there's 112,000 Americans died from drugs this year? Like 2023? That's more than died in Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, all the wars that they're calling wars. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying people's being led away.
Man.
Being led away. The Bible said, listen, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things. People that know things are being led away.
Man.
It ain't like it used to be. Hey, let me even say this. The church ain't like it used to be. The Spirit of God ain't striving like He used to.
Amen.
He ain't moving like He used to.
Right.
That bothers me more than any of it.
Oh, God.
Lord God, you know why the devil was fighting against the saints more than anything else? Because they got power with God.
Amen.
And if they can get you drugged down and in the gutter and rob your faith and take your love. And if he gets all that, he's got you power. He's got you like that song we sung just a little while ago. I was thinking about that, where there is no hope. But I want to encourage you to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. As long as you've got Him, you've got hope. Terry said it this morning. As long as you've got Him, you've got an ear. You've got one that'll hear you, answer you, loves you, cares about you. Done everything to keep you out of the gutter. My God, to help you in every aspect of your life. We are taught that we've got to depend on the government and their help us. They're not going to help you. But the Lord is a present help in time of trouble. And most of the time, the last one we turn to.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to amen me. You can sit there, whatever. God help my... I've been tore up. There's folks everywhere that don't know what to do. And I'm one of them most times. I tried my best to get out of preaching this morning. I asked William, I said, you got anything on your heart? But I'm scared of watching people. It bothers me. It bothers me to see people being drugged down. Taken captive at his will. Wind up in shapes that they can't get themselves out of.
That's right.
Amen. And a lot of times we blame it on, well, this decision or that decision or mistakes in life. I'm going to bring it right back home. It's not those decisions that dictate that. It's the decision you make in here. It's not bad decisions out there. It's the decisions you make in here.
Amen. Amen.
Right here is where the decision is made.
Amen.
I'm either going with God or I'm going to be led away. I'm either going to go with God and I'm going to let him help me. And
yeah.
I know I'm going to have faults and failures and make mistakes, but at least I got somebody to help me. I mean, I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make up my mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with God. I'm going to give him my heart. I want to talk to him about it. Quit listening to everybody else.
Amen.
Decisions not made out yonder.
No.
Decisions made in here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You either run to him or run away from him. There's no, hey, there's just two roads and two directions.
Amen.
There's two places to build your life, rock or sinking sand. Storms are coming. They are coming.
Yep.
Storm hit both houses, the one on the rock and on the sinking sand. I got thinking about this. Pilate made a statement I'm going to preach on in just a minute. Oh, God, help me. Pilate was over there and faced with the biggest decision in his whole political career. In his whole reign. You might be sitting here this morning and you're going to have to make the biggest decision in your whole life. Pilate asked this question. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?
Oh, God.
He said, what am I going to do with him? What shall I do then? What am I going to do with him? What are you going to do with him?
Amen.
What are you going to do with him? The decision's made here. Oh, I messed up this part of my... I done this. No, the decision's made right here.
Amen.
What shall I then do?
Amen.
What shall I do with Jesus? You know, it's a blessing to us. But they crucified the Son of God. But what I'm saying is this. Pilate listened to the crowd. Pilate listened to the crowd. I'd advise you to listen to the Lord. But in doing so, He fulfilled the word of God in his actions because they did crucify him. I thought of another scripture, and I'll let you go here in just a minute when I was thinking about this. All down through time, there's been those that's made up their mind to go with God, and then there's been those that's rejected him. I thought about the children of Israel. God had made them promises, promised them that land as a heritage, promised he'd be with them, promised he brought them through the wilderness. Moses died on, never got to go into the promised land. They go into that promised land. He divides up seven nations, gives it to the children of Israel. Everything that he told them would happen did happen. Joshua come up to a place, and this is what he said. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord." He said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as far as me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." He said, God's done everything that he said he'd do for you. That's what I'm wanting to say this morning. God has done everything he said he'd do for you. Amen. Everything. He knows you're but flesh, you're but dust. He knows you're a sinner, but you know what he done? He died for your sin. Said he would, and he did. Amen. Amen. Said he'd forgive you, and he will. Said he'd receive you, and he will. He bids you to walk with him. He bids you to pray. He bids you, oh, Lord God. Now, I'm not talking religious obligations. I wish you could get in and enjoy God. Amen. I mean enjoy him. He loves to fellowship with you. And if you ever really get in on it, if you ever really taste and see, oh, you'll want another drink. But I guess what I'm trying to say, and I'm going to close here in a minute. Scary stuff. If you would take just a few minutes today and go back and read chapter 2 of 2 Peter and find out everything that's being laid out and being laid before. And then, let me say this. The Bible said in chapter 1, he said he's going to stir up their hearts. Chapter 3, I believe it is, said he's going to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. Maybe that's chapter, I got them backwards. But anyway, it ain't long. It takes one chapter until he's cast doubt on what the Lord said he's going to do. One chapter. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, he's cast doubt. The Lord ain't going to do what he said he's going to do. I'm here to tell you this morning, he is going to do what he said he's going to do. The Bible said the elements being on fire, the heavens being on fire. He is coming back one day. He is. He's going to return. The Bible talked about it like this, in flame and fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. He is. Judgment is set. It's said. It's done. It's declared. Now, what are you going to do with this man, Jesus? What are you? Lord God, I don't. I sat back there yesterday and the day before, and I thought about this. And I see people hurting. I don't know how to help them. I see people that's already led away, and I don't know how to get them back. I see people that need help and reject it, reject help. I don't know what you do with that. Then it finally hit me, and I preached all that to say this, and I've done said it. That decision is not made out yonder. They're probably already captive and may never get loose. The decision's made in here. Right here is where it's made. Probably 99.9% of decisions that's made out yonder is going to be the wrong one. Because there's too many voices out there to hear. But he said, today, if you hear my voice, that voice is heard in here. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as they did in the days of provocation. I mean, let me read this to you. I'm going to, these verses have kindly, I won't say confused me, but I've just pondered them a while. What Daniel said after he seen these things. In verse 28 of chapter 7, after he said that they'd wear out the saints, and David said this, he said, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, see Daniel's seeing all this. He said, as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He said, all this stuff I'm seeing, it's troubling me. All this stuff that's taking place, it's troubling me. He said this, that my countenance changed. He said, I'm seeing the people of God being worn out. I'm seeing them going through these things. It troubles you. But I want to say one more time, the decision's in here. If you hear his voice, run to him. Come to him. Lord God, I'll say this. If you hear his voice and he's calling you, surrender. Great God, whatever it is. You know, in one situation, I feel bad saying things like that. Because we got young folks that want to go with God, and ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
And then it scares me when I see some that's just back and forth. Can't make up their mind. That bothers me. Oh, God. All right, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to let you go. Help me this morning. I read that because I know perilous times are come. I know all these things, but I thank God that judgment is set. The gavel's been declared. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I want you to remember the service tonight. Come back and be with us. I pray the Lord bless you.